Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the 20th day of Sivan, Tavshin Pei Dalad, Masechta Gittin, Perek Hay, Mishnah Zayin. Cheresh Remes V'Nirmas. The Tanakhama says that a cheresh, one who is deaf and mute, who cannot speak, obviously, he can hint, make gestures to others with his hands or head, and others can gesture to him, and in that way, transactions can be validated. Uven Besera Omer, Ben Besera says, even if kofetz v'nikbatz, even if he opens and closes his mouth and uses his mouth without speaking, but just uses the movement of the lips, which is not as good as using the hands or head to gesture, nevertheless, Ben Besera holds that that would also help with the cheresh, and transactions will be made or validated through that. But b'mitaltelin, that is only if it's chattels. Buying and saying chattels, but not with real estate. With real estate, Ben Pesera will not be so lenient as to say that just moving the lips will help. When it comes to real estate, he will hold like the Tanakhama that you need to use your hand, or the cheresh needs to use his hand or his head to make a proper gesture. Some learn in the Mishnah, the Rambam learns the Mishnah, that when it says b'mitaltelin, it actually goes on both the Tanakhama and Ben Pesera. That even the Tanakhama, who says that the cheresh has to use his hands and head as a gesture, or Ben Besera says it's good enough to use the use the mouth, they both of them are talking about only metatlim, only chattels, not with real estate. With real estate, it has to be actually speaking or writing. Hapa'utos, young ones, young kids, children at the age of about 7 or 8. Who are quite cluey. They're quite clever when it comes to buying and selling, or if they're a bit older, 9 and 10. Even if they're not so clever when it comes to buying and selling, mikron mekach umemkor ad mimkor b'mitaltlin. What they buy is considered valid, a valid purchase. What they sell is considered as a valid sale, if it's chattels that they're dealing with. Why is this? And the Chachamim made this takana. Mishum kedei chayev, as the Gemara says, it's in order to provide some sort of sustenance for these kids, these children. If what they sell is not considered a sale, what they buy is not considered a proper buy, if it's not enforceable, then no one's going to want to sell them anything, no one's going to buy from them. So therefore, it's for their own good, actually, that at the various ages we've just mentioned, that even though they're ketanim, their sales and purchases will be valid. Mishnah Ches. Ve'elu dvarim, omro mipnei darkashol. The following things were made by the Chachamim, or they said, because of darkashol, to keep the peace, not have machalikas. First takana. Kohen koire rishon v'acharov Levi v'acharov Yisrael. A kohen should get called up first in aliyah to the Torah to read the tzibur. Those days, the one who used to get the Levi used to read, afterwards the Levi, and afterwards the Yisrael. Now, really, the Gemara explains, this is min haTorah. It's based on a pasuk of the Kiddushah, you shall sanctify the Kohen. So, in what way was this a takana? But the Gemara explains, min haTorah, if a Kohen wants to forego his honor and give it to someone more senior than him or to his rabbi, he's allowed to, he's got permission to. But when it comes to reading the Torah B'tzibah, the Chacham said, no, don't do it. Why did the Chacham say that a Kohen should not give over or forego his honor? That's because it could lead to machlokes. Mipnei darkashol. People start to get jealous. You got the filia first. He didn't give it to me. He didn't give it. No machlokes. To stop machlokes. A Kohen gets the first aliyah, then Levi, then Yisrael. Next thing. Ma'arin b'vayis yashon. That the Eruv that's put in a house should be, or use the same house. Use the house that's literally the old house. We're talking here about a case of a chotzer yard, which has various neighbors in it. And they can't carry from the houses to the courtyard or vice versa unless they do what's called an Erev Chatzeres. Join all the houses together. What they do is they take a loaf of bread, a whole loaf, which has been contributed to or paid by all the inhabitants of the chotzer, except for the one who owns the house in which this bread is going to be placed. And they put it there in that house, and by doing so, It's making the whole chatzer one rishus, one single entity. It's as if they're all living in that house, in that chatzer. The Chacham said, use the same house week in, week out. If the people of the chatzer are accustomed to using one house, keep on doing that house. And don't change it. Why? Mipnei daka shalom, because of, to keep the peace. Now the Gemara explains that here has a bit of a different meaning. It means to avoid any suspicion, any chshad. What does that mean? If there's a particular house that the pas, the bread of the Erev is usually there, and they change it and put it somewhere else, people who come and see the house and ask, what happened? Or they'll notice there's no bread here. They'll start thinking, oh, these people of the chatzah don't even have an Erev. That's one explanation, to avoid suspicion. Others say that the reason for the shalom, how it keeps the shalom, is because the person whose house had it in the Erev each week, he doesn't have to contribute any money or anything towards the bread. He uses his house for it, that's all. And therefore, if it's taken away from him, it could result in people being up, in the owner being upset, because now he will have to contribute when the loaf of bread is being put in another house. Next takana, which is made for shalom. Boir shehu korov la'ama mismale rishon. The pit that's closest to the stream of water gets filled first. We're talking here about a stream of water that comes from a river, and it's passing through the edge of a whole lot of different fields. And each person uses it and diverts the water from it to his field. But because there's a worry that maybe the stream would run out, and they won't have water later on, so they would make, each one would make a pit at the edge of their field, and they would direct the water from the flow from the stream into that pit until it gets filled. The Chacham said that the one whose pit is closest to the stream should be the one who gets the first opportunity to fill his pit from it, and afterwards the others will fill their pits, which are further away from the stream. And this is done mipnei darkei shalom, because of peace. So the people of the fields don't have machlekes. You took it first, he took it first, he took it second. Why are you taking the water now? The one who's closest to the ama, to the stream, gets it first. He dams the stream so it diverts it into his pit. And then the next people, as they go further out, will use the stream to fill their pits. Mitzoidos chaya v'oifos v'dogim. Trapping nets that are used for trapping animals, birds, and fish, that have been spread to catch them and hold them, even though they don't have a receptacle, you can't hold anything. Like if you put liquid or anything, you can't. It's got holes in it, and therefore it's not called a keli. Therefore, technically, it cannot acquire for the owner the things that they have trapped. But the Chachom made a takon, and they said, yes, we will treat it as if it was a kinyan. Yesh behem mishum gazel. There, we will say that someone who steals it out of, steals an animal, steals a fish out of someone's net, we will call it gerezela, we will call it robbery. But not really robbery, minatora. It's, they said, mipnei darkei shalom, to keep the peace. Otherwise you'll get arguments and fighting. People will take it from fish from other people's nets and animals other people's nets. So they said, no. They said, to avoid this, we will say that it's gezel min rabbanon. What happens if someone did take it from someone's net? Could a beis din act on it? And the Tanakhama holds no. It's only done for darkei shalom. It's not really gezel, so a courts would have no remedy to enforce it, but we're relying on people to follow the law and don't take it, because it's called gezel rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi goes one step further. Rabbi Yossi Omer gezel gomor. He says it's more than that. When the rabbis decreed and said that a person's net acquires for him whatever's caught in it, they meant it really as a proper gezel mirabanon, and to the extent that a court will be able to enforce a remedy against the person who actually took it from someone else. Mitzias cheres shotev cotton. Another takana that they made, chamim, that what a cheres shotev cotton finds, normally is not theirs. They can't make an acquisition. They're not old enough, or they're not mentally able to do it. And nevertheless, yesh bahen mishum gazel. They said, yes, we will say that what they find a nice gold watch in the street, if it's no simon, whatever, there is a din of gzela mipnei darkei shalom. they said, not allowed to take it away from the cotton or the cheresh or the sheder. Rabbi, but would you be able to enforce it in court? No. Once again, Rabbi Yossi argues, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Gezel Gomer. He says it's absolutely gezela, and you'd be able to even enforce a cotton, would be able to take an adult to court for taking something away from him that he found in the street. We're talking about something completely hafgar, obviously, not belonging to someone. Oni hamanakef barosh hazayis. A further tikkun was made that a poor person who's banging the top of an olive tree and getting olives down that belong to him because he's poor. We're talking about peya or shikha, things in the corner of the tree, or things that the people plucking, the harvesters have forgotten. They're not allowed to collect, they have to leave it for the poor. And he's banging on the tree and it falls down. Masha tachtov, the olives that fall down because of his banging, gezel, is robbery if someone else takes it. If another poor person comes and sees them falling on the ground and he takes them, that's gezela. Why do they say that? Even though technically it's not robbery, because really he hasn't made an acquisition of it, he's just banged it. Nevertheless, mipnei dark yisholim, they did it to keep the peace, so that poor people will not come to have arguments in the fields, in the orchards, about who owns these olives that have fallen down, or fruit that have fallen down. Would a court be able to enforce? No. It's gezel, but not gezel gomer. And once again, Rabbi Yossi Omer, gezel gomer. He says it is absolutely gezel midrabanan, albeit midrabanan, but it's strict enough that a court would be able to enforce a remedy against someone who took it from the bottom of the tree or from the ground, which another oni had caused to fall by his banging on the tree. And finally, ein mamachin b'yad ani goyim b'leket uveshikha v'peya. We will not stop poor people who are non-Jewish, who are Gentiles, from taking the poor man's dues, leket, what's been left over, when what's been dropped when one collects the tevuah, the produce, shikha, what one's forgotten to take or harvest, and v'peya, the corner of the field. They would allow goyim to come there, even though it's really the Torah, it gives it for the Jewish people, for the anim, and they did this mipnei dark yisholim, to keep the peace. So the goyim will see that everybody is able to participate in the poor man's dues. And in a similar vein, the Gemara brings down that when poor people who are goyim collect, we give them as well. We visit the sick Gentiles together with the Jewish people who are sick, and even help them to bury their dead with the Mace Israel, with people that just like we do for Jewish people. And that is all Darkei Shalom, to keep the peace.